Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us this morning in this service to honor you. Pray for your anointing. Ask you to help us to break the bread of life to this congregation. I pray that precious souls would find help, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the wheat and the tares. This parable teaches us that hypocrisy is Satan's enduring legacy in the Church of Jesus Christ. According to my text, the kingdom of Christ will never be completely free from hypocrisy until the end of time. And there's a warning here for all of those who avoid Christ because of hypocrites associated with the church. If you're waiting until all hypocrites are gone before getting right with God, I got news for you. You won't ever get right with God. Here is the picture. A plowed field. A sower sowing good seed. And in secret, an enemy sows weeds in that same field. They come up together. The tares so closely resemble the wheat that the servants cannot tell the difference until the wheat begins to mature. And when the servants finally realize what has happened, they question the owner, and he tells them of the secret sowing of the enemy and instructs them to let tares and wheat grow together until harvest time, lest the wheat crop be damaged by trying to separate the tares and the wheat. But at harvest time, he says, the angels will separate the wheat and the tares and will burn the tares. Now I want to point out some essential lessons of this parable. First of all, there is the spread of the kingdom of God. Secondly, there's the infection of God's kingdom. And thirdly, there is the cleansing of God's kingdom. So we have the spread of God's kingdom, the infection of God's kingdom, and the cleansing of God's kingdom. There's the spread of God's kingdom. When asked of the parable by his disciples, Jesus identified the sower as being himself. And he identified the field as the world. He identified the seed as the children of the kingdom. In the previous parable, the seed was the Word of God. But in this parable, the seed are those who in the previous parable receive the Word of God, submit to the authority of the Word of God, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now those people who received the seed into good ground, those are the ones that Christ takes and sows them in the field of the world to bring forth fruit in the world for his kingdom. They are representatives of his kingdom. They are kingdom builders. They are soul winners. They are ambassadors of his kingdom. Ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now it is evident from this parable that Christ will not allow us, as the people of God, to live isolated from the world. We are called to be salt. We are called to be light. We cannot live isolated in this world. As the head of the church, Jesus assigns us a sphere of labor. He sows us in the world. So, your sphere of labor is wherever Christ sows you. You know, we've had several missionaries to come by here lately, and Christ has taken them and sowed them in foreign fields to be his ambassadors, to be salt and light, to build the kingdom where they are. He has sown you right here. And so our sphere of labor is wherever Christ has sown us. We are to be light, salt, ambassadors for Christ, builders of the kingdom of God. We sow, we water. God gives the increase. Secondly, we see the infection of that kingdom. Jesus identified the enemy as the devil. And the tares are the children of the devil. Satan sowed these tares across the world in an attempt to infect the kingdom of God and hinder its progress. Now in this parable, Jesus exposes one of Satan's main strategies. Listen to me now. One of Satan's main strategies as being imitation. It's very difficult to distinguish between the tares and the wheat. They look very much alike. So Satan infects the kingdom by planting imitators of the righteous in the kingdom. One man said that the world is composed of three types of people: unbelievers, make-believers, and believers. And you fit into one of those categories. All of us fit into one of those categories. Unbeliever, make-believer, or believer. This parable, the tares, in this parable, the tares are the make-believers, the play-actors, the hypocrites. They read their Bible, they pray, they go to church, they may hold office in the church, they dress good, they do good deeds to needy people. They do a good job of imitating the children of God, but they are the children of the devil planted by Satan to damage the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, we are not talking here about acknowledged sinners who have no pretension of religion. We are concerned here about people who have a form of godliness with no power. They resemble the real thing so well
that Jesus warned against trying to root them out, lest innocent people are wrongly charged. These are not people who imitate the world, or they could easily be identified. They are people who imitate the righteous, so they are not easily identified. Now, the shocking thing to me is that in these last days, it's not that Satan has children that imitate saints, but that the saints imitate the sinners. That wasn't considered here. But that's what we are seeing in the hour in which we live, even in this church. Y'all hearing me? Even in this church, I've noticed hemlines going up and necklines going down in imitation of the world. So if your heart is in the world, now listen to me, if your heart is in the world, you will show it in times of cultural change. If you follow the fashions of the world, if you neglect the assembly of the saints, if you play violent and lewd video games, if you enjoy the sins of Hollywood, if you listen to music that generates evil thoughts and impure emotions, if you run with the drinking and cursing crowd, you're not even a good hypocrite. We're not considering you here. You don't imitate the righteous. You are easily identified. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So we're not considering you in this parable. This parable is about those who imitate the righteous. The tares closely resemble the wheat. Then there's the cleansing of the kingdom. When the servants of the master realized that the field had been infected, they were greatly distressed. They wanted to get rid of those tares. But the master counseled patience. He said, "The day of cleansing will come." Now understand this. Jesus did not mean that the church cannot exercise discipline or excommunication. For in this same book, 5 chapters later, he gives instructions to his disciples about proper church discipline and excommunication. So when sin is obvious, it must be dealt with. Secondly, Jesus knew our limitations. And when sin is not obvious, then mistakes can easily be made, and we are liable to do more harm than good. And that's why Jesus counseled patience about tares. Now, Jesus sounded the warning to all hypocrites. Separation time is coming. The Bible tells us that the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And He's going to send His angels to gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. This is the danger of hypocrisy. Listen to me. This is the danger of hypocrisy. To offend means to cause to stumble. There are souls lost today who receive fatal advice from people in God's house who had no heart for holiness, no passion for pleasing Christ, no zeal for building God's kingdom. And listen, when you have no horror of sin, you tend to downplay the seriousness of sin in awakened hearts. And people who come to you for counsel, whether it be your children or somebody in the church, you tend to downplay the seriousness of sin because you have no horror of sin in your heart. This is the danger of the tares. They offend. They cause to stumble. They lead others into sin. Hypocrites and those that are hindered by them, Jesus tells us, will go into a furnace of fire. The fire obviously does not annihilate. For all eternity, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to tell you, Jesus never lied about anything. And he does not lie about hell either. Hell is eternal. Hell is torment forever. And then Jesus comforts the righteous. He sounds the warning to the tares, but he comforts the righteous. They are grieved by the signs of insincerity. They weep, they fast, they pray. The kingdom of God means everything to them. They are among those in Matthew 6:33 that Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." It matters the condition of the kingdom to them. It matters whether or not we're pleasing God. It matters whether or not we're reaching souls. It matters whether or not we're building the kingdom of God. It matters whether or not we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. For those righteous people, the kingdom of God really matters to them. And the kingdom of God is so important to them that they grieve over the lack of progress. Souls must be saved. And they grieve over the hindrances that Satan has sowed in the house of God. But their weeping is going to soon give way to rejoicing. And Jesus told them, "You're going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father." There's coming a day when there will be a separation time, and the reward will be given to those who have been faithful to Jesus through all the changing seasons of time, loyal to Christ, loving his kingdom, hating sin, loving souls. This is the reward of the righteous. They will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And finally, Jesus knew something that sometimes we overlook. Jesus knew that he could make wheat out of tares. He canceled patience to the servants because Jesus knew that he could make wheat out of tares. And this is one of Satan's worst nightmares, that Jesus, by his power, will transform a hypocrite into a holy man and a righteous man. That he'll take those on the verges of the kingdom, on the borders of the kingdom, those that Satan has still control of their lives, but Jesus can wrestle control of their lives out of the hand of the devil and make wheat out of tares. Hallelujah. I've seen him do it, brother. And a question in my mind, I thought, when I was studying this lesson, does all tares know that they are tares? Does everybody know that we have been planted in this place, in this certain place, by the devil to hinder the kingdom of God? I don't really think every tare knows they are a tare. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And sometimes Satan has pulled the wool over our eyes and made us think that we're traveling the right road, when all the time we're traveling the road of destruction. But Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, even if you are a tare, Jesus loves you. And if you are just an outright sinner, Jesus loves you. And Jesus can transform tares into wheat. And he can take the sinner and change their life and put them in the house of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, to spread the kingdom of God, to love Christ, to love righteousness, to hate sin, and to love the sinner. That's what Christ wants to do for everybody in this place, is put you in His kingdom, sow you in His field, make you a blessing to the kingdom of God, so that you build the kingdom of God, that you encourage the saints of God, that you strengthen the house of God. This is God's purpose for everybody in this place. It's God's purpose for everybody in the world. And I'm telling you that Jesus will transform your life. If you'll give Him a chance, Jesus will transform your life. He'll make you a lover of God, a hater of sin, a lover of righteousness, a lover of His Word, a lover of His kingdom, the kingdom of God. And you know, when you love His kingdom, you don't want to do anything to hinder the kingdom of God. This is the most important institution on the face of the earth. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. I'm not going to invite hypocrites to come to the altar. If there were any here this morning, not many people acknowledge that, you know. I'm a hypocrite. But now there have been people who did. I have seen people crumble under the power of the Holy Ghost and acknowledge, I have been a hypocrite. I have just been play acting. I'm ready. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to give my heart wholly unto God. Surrender my life to the Word of God and yield my life to the Savior. You know, I don't know. I'm just like those servants. A lot of times I can't tell. I don't know. But Jesus knows them that are His. And He knows whether or not you are really in His kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants you to be a vital part of His kingdom. He wants you to live a life that's a blessing. He wants you to live a life that honors Him. He wants you to live a life in which you spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I want us to stand together this morning. I just have a feeling that there are souls in this place. There's a thirst in your heart for God. That there's something missing in your life. And there's a thirst in your heart for God. And I want you to know that you can have satisfaction in Jesus this morning. He loves you. He died to save you. And we're going to open this altar for anybody that would like to pray. Maybe you're lost, no pretender, you're just lost. And if you're here and you admit you're lost, you're unique in our society. Interview 100 people out here on the street, 95% of them will say they're Christian, even if they're living like the devil. If you are one of those that acknowledge, I am a sinner, I need to be saved, I need God's pardon and God's forgiveness. You are unique, and you are the person that Christ can help. And I just wonder if there's one like that here. I'm not making a call for any hypocrites to come. I'm making a call if there's a sinner in this place. And you acknowledge that. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need God in my heart and life. The altars are open. Ladies, kneel right here. Men, kneel right here. And there'll be somebody to pray. Seek God with you. Help you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. While we wait just a few moments, is there one? Is there one? I just feel like there's somebody here that your heart
is yearning for Christ. You're missing something vital in your life, and Jesus wants to satisfy the longing of your soul. All right. While Sister Judith sings, I want you to come to the altar. I'm going to have a general altar call. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to have a general altar call. I want you to come to these altars. If there's something missing in your life, Jesus can fix it this very day. And all of us need a closer walk with Him and more power in our life to be a blessing to a lost world. Come on to these altars. Let's seek the face of God this morning.